The Center for Health Transformation, CHT, what is it?
The CHT is a collaboration of private and public sector leaders all gathering together to create solutions and find ways to create a 21st century intelligent health system that saves lives and saves money, which is so possible if we put our minds to it and really work on real change and transformation rather than playing around the edges.
What is it, though? I mean, it's nice to talk in generalities and say we want to make changes. Everybody wants to make changes. Everybody wants to cover as many people as possible, provide them with health coverage. But what is your approach compared to others that have been tried and, frankly, have failed?
Well, the former speaker, Newt Gingrich, is one of the most innovative people I've ever met. And it's amazing when you hear him talk about innovation and how to transform systems. It's so different from the general change that goes on when we, you know, play around the edges of things. So the kind of transformation we're talking about is systemic level change, that we really have to understand the complexities of health and healthcare delivery. And it's exciting for me, being passionate about health, that he is such a leader talking about health improvement and not just responding to disease and illness. So with the Center for Health Transformation, we're talking about all the issues, whether it's healthcare information technology and how slow the adoption has been throughout the healthcare system and healthcare as an industry. We have just lagged behind in decades adopting technology that can help us so much. So healthcare IT issues, coverage of the uninsured, how is it that we can get a 300 million payer system to make that happen? And part of that is about consumerism, about getting people to be more responsible for their health and understand the role that they play. And it's challenging now because we don't have access to good data. So you hear sometimes people talk about transparency. We like to talk about it as the right to know, that people have the right to know the cost and quality of the healthcare services that they are receiving. And we can only make good, informed decisions if we have good information. So a lot of our work is around making sure that in our healthcare systems, we can have access to that kind of information. Many other topics involved also chronic disease, focusing on Alzheimer's and cancer and so many of the other diseases that are draining our country of its resources. And when you talk about health, it's not just for the health of it. It's because our economy is stronger when we have a healthier workforce. Our kids do better in schools when they're healthier. So there are a lot of other benefits to becoming healthier and making a more successful nation and economy.
It seems like a no-brainer. You want people to be healthy, but how do we get from point A to point B? How do we get to the point where we want to say, you know, we want everybody to be covered, obviously. In theory, that's the goal. How do we get to that point where it's not going to break the state, or, and I say the state, I mean the country, not just the state of Missouri,
right,
but I mean the country, the nation, because it's so expensive. How do we get to that point?
Well, we've gotten to that point because of a lot of waste, a lot of inefficiencies in our systems, and by not taking a look at how to do it right. One of the things that is very possible is by focusing on becoming healthier, we will save lives and save money. And so it's not about trying to just invest upfront without knowing that we're going to have savings. If we do it right, we will be focusing on health. We will be creating a healthier population that does cost less. And we know by looking at healthcare delivery systems, those who have used the practices of the private sector, other parts of the private sector besides healthcare, that using good leadership and Deming material and Toyota and all of those other national companies and international companies who've taken a look at quality and how to improve quality in their systems, those same things can be replicated in healthcare to make better quality in our healthcare system. Those things drive efficiencies, reduce the cost for everyone. And the thing is, we've got enough money in our system now. We just haven't been focusing those resources in the right areas. We have not been funding prevention well at all. And if we start focusing on those areas and invest in prevention, we will have that healthier population that is less costly.
Is that part of the key then? What we're looking for here is making that healthier population, which of course would not have to constantly be going to the emergency rooms for various things, various ailments that could be treated, I don't want to say very easily, but with the options that are available to us, whether it's not smoking, not overeating, not engaging in risky behavior that could land somebody in an emergency room. So much of the focus, I would guess, would be on the prevention part. I guess we're seeing that some aspect with MoHealthNet.
Yes, it's very important. And here at the state, there has been the focus, finally, I think, on prevention and wellness that is so important and that the public health community has been talking about forever. And it's hard, though, to focus on prevention because it's like saying that accident that didn't happen. It's difficult to measure that. But we know what the outcome can be, what the return on investment is when we focus on prevention. We know with statistics going the way they are with our population aging. We know with the number of cases of chronic diseases, heart disease, COPD, diabetes on the rise because of our rates of obesity and overweight. Those kind of things have real cost to them. And for every one that we prevent, there is a dollar associated with that we will be saving, not only as a nation, but as an employer or even as an individual. So it's about making those wise decisions. You know, I like talking about creating a culture of health. And what does that mean for our society? It really does mean thinking about your health more frequently. And it's my responsibility as an individual to try to stay healthy. And every decision I make impacts my health, whether I'm going to smoke or not, if I'm going to exercise, what I decide to eat every day, how I choose to manage my stress. All of those things are part of creating a healthy person. And if we have more healthy individuals, we end up with a healthier society.
You know, some people would argue that if, and I hate using the some people would, that's the Katie Couric approach, but some people would argue that if perhaps, you know, we were to bring down costs because people are being more cautious about the choices they make, they're not smoking, they're not shooting up with drugs, that kind of thing, then somehow the cost will stay the same because we'll see some of the people in the healthcare system that we have now just taking bigger profits than are already being taken.
Well, I think it's important that the industries are engaged in the process with consumers. And that's one of the things very unique about the Center for Health Transformation. When we put together these collaborative efforts, and it's a membership-based organization, there are representatives from every sector. We are talking about, you know, individuals who are passionate about this. We're talking about the advocacy agencies and organizations like the Cancer Society and the Heart Association and Diabetes Association, those kind of groups, along with pharmaceutical companies, along with the health insurance plans, and along with the employers who have over the last few decades been picking up more and more of those healthcare costs. The costs are rising, although we're seeing the trends that are alarming of fewer employers covering the health benefits because it is such a drain on their companies. I think the last number I saw was about $1,500 of every car is going to pay for the healthcare cost of the employers that in our automakers. You know, that's a cost that all of us are bearing because of the cost of those cars. So it's in all of our best interest to be together working on solutions that we can all agree to and work together to implement.
Tell me about the Missouri Project.
The Missouri Project is very exciting. I'm just thrilled to be a part of the organization and be able to be focused here in Missouri. The Missouri Project is really a second phase for the Center for Health Transformation that started the Georgia Project just a couple years ago as a way to implement a lot of the transformational solutions in one geographic area. In Georgia, they've done some amazing things, focusing on one, for example, is the Bridges to Excellence program, which helps to identify the gaps in relation to diabetes. Do we have enough certified providers that understand diabetes care, understand how to help patients monitor and manage their own diabetes care, which again is one of those growing trends here in our nation. And so if we have healthier people that are managing their diabetes, again, our cost will go down. So the Georgia Project has had many successes in a lot of areas looking at healthcare IT issues, healthy communities projects, which are, again, one of my passions in local communities, how to gather together and make sure that you have the healthiest community possible. So the center was interested in expanding that, and I was interested in becoming a part of the center, and I think it worked out really well that we could focus on Missouri first because we're in the midst of transformation in our state government, looking at the Missouri Health Net as an opportunity to transform the Medicaid program. You know, Missouri was the only state that sunset its Medicaid program and is really under the gun now to have a new program ready. And so the legislators, the governor's office, agencies, advocates are all trying to work together to design that transformational Medicaid program. But the Missouri Project is really more outside government. It's about the public or the private sector, although the public sector will be invited to participate in any way they want. But the private sector leaders from all those kind of organizations that I mentioned coming together at the table, the hospitals and other providers and insurance companies, all of those, everybody in Missouri, getting together to identify where are some gaps now in health issues related to Missouri, where are there gaps in leadership, where have there not been groups convened to take a look at these issues. One thing that comes to mind in a lot of events that I've attended and what I read is related to that pay for performance, quality indicators. There's a lot of people that get nervous about that. How is it that insurance companies might determine what are ways that they will reimburse physicians, or what is it that our federal government might do? Secretary Leavitt has talked about his cornerstones of health improvement and healthcare delivery and transformation, and that is an important one, getting to quality standards and being able to pay providers based on quality. So I think that's a real natural opportunity that we have to gather people together and talk about what makes sense here in Missouri.
So this is something, you mentioned the private sector, that's the key here. It has nothing to do necessarily with Medicaid or with any of those other things. It's taking people and people, the people I deal with when I need my healthcare services, people you deal with and others in the private sector, and how we're going to make that system more efficient and serve people better.
Yeah, there's one of my other colleagues at the Center for Health Transformation who's based in Washington, D.C., is more of the Medicaid guru, and he does consulting, non-paid consulting with governments when invited. We're not a lobbying organization. We don't take money from government, but he's the one who focuses more on that. My focus in the Missouri Project is really about convening that coalition approach to address the issues, create the innovative solutions, and be able to implement those to more quickly transform our system here in Missouri and get to the solutions that will transform lives, and save money for Missouri.
We hear so much about the desire on the parts of some people for a single-payer health system in which the government is the person, the entity, which takes care of people's health care needs. It's called the Canadian-style system. Which has its, certainly there are benefits in that everybody's covered, but there are problems as well in that the people who are covered like the American-style system in which your treatment is better, your access to health coverage is a lot better. So this is something we're going to look at, I'm guessing. How far are we from implementing some of these ideas that you have?
Well, they're being implemented all around the country already in small areas or by specific employers, by the federal government and Secretary Leavitt, you know, looking at some of these solutions. There are things happening. There are trends that talk about employers changing models of providing benefits. For example, health savings accounts are one of those examples. The uptake has continued to be on the rise for health savings accounts. That's one of those methods by which individuals get more educated and become empowered to be in more control over their health care. I have a health savings account now. It definitely has impacted me to take a look at, you know, before I go to see a doctor or go to the emergency room or buy a prescription, I'm much more interested in what it costs now because I'm paying for it in a little bit different way. It may not be any different dollar amount out of my pocket in the end over a year, but I'm more in control over it. So it definitely impacts my behavior by having incentives that are appropriately aligned. And incentives are a big thing for all of our system. We have to have the providers who have appropriate incentives. We have to have the payers that have appropriate incentives. And when you talk about the difference between universal coverage and we want universal coverage, I think everybody agrees to that. But it's the payment system for that has very stark differences in approach. And I am, you know, definitely in strong agreement with Newt, who talks about that it's inappropriate to even be talking about the financing of our system until we talk about the very core of it, which is our individual behaviors. If we don't become more responsible for our health, we will never have enough money to pay for it on the downstream end of it, because we will continue to focus on the late reaction and response to disease and illness and trying to take care of it. So we have to. It's imperative that we start way at the beginning, upstream, in talking about the individuals and what we can do, and then talk about this intelligent 21st century delivery models. what do employers need to do? What do our payers, the third-party administrators, need to do, the health insurance products? What does everyone need to do? What do providers need to do? And we're talking about best practice models. By just implementing the technology that is out there already, we could do amazing things in reducing cost and providing better quality care. You know, think about the differences in sectors and different industries as you compare it to healthcare. You know, do you really want the federal government to be in charge of all of our healthcare, or would you rather have somebody like a FedEx who can get a package anywhere in the world within 24 hours be in charge of our healthcare? Not that it would be FedEx, but I'm talking about that market-based, the entrepreneurial, the private sector, who always responds with innovative, creative, and efficient models of providing services. That's not the goal of government, to provide the most efficient model of doing anything. And, you know, we've seen that. Look at the competition between the Postal Service, which was originally part of government and now is its own entity. But, you know, the Postal Service became part of competition when FedEx and UPS and all of them got into the market. And they've had to react a lot differently and have responded to that well. But you think then of, you know, Newt has told stories about comparing an organization even like Walmart, who can tell you how many of anything were sold the day before, how many of, you know, strawberry essence shampoo was sold from aisle 92 in any given store, and they will make sure that it gets restocked by the next morning. Do we have that kind of data that drives our decisions in healthcare delivery? Do we know in our Medicaid programs who we're providing services to, and do we have that real-time look at data to drive our decisions? And the answer is no, we don't have that in healthcare. But why is it that it exists in every other industry, but not in healthcare? I think the most important is industry, because it is all about health. So, you know, is there anything more important than making sure we have the best healthcare delivery system in the world? And we may have the most expensive, but it's not giving us the best health outcomes. And that's what it's all about, measuring outcomes and performance.
And I should ask you the last thing on this. How did you become involved with this? I mean, I know your background. What prompted Newt Gingrich, former Speaker of the House, to say, you know, I'm going to call on this Julie Eckstein person in Missouri to get involved with this Missouri project?
Well, I had watched what they were doing over the last several years. Before I was in state government, I was aware of what they were doing, had even sent an email to Mr. Gingrich several years ago about what I was doing in my local community, and thought it would be a good fit for what he was doing. Was never really in communication or anything like that over the years, but as they became involved over the last year in some of the work in state government, specifically working with the Senate on the Medicaid program, I became much more interested in what they were doing, and then just sought them out and let them know that I was interested in working with them. And it turned out that they were interested in expanding somewhere in the country, and it seemed like Missouri was a great opportunity for that. Best part is I get to be home in Missouri, in my hometown, and do what I'm passionate about here for the state of Missouri. So it's an exciting opportunity.
When did it start?
March 1st is when I started with the center.
No matter what happens as far as the Medicaid system being fixed, this is totally separate from that.
It is separate from that. And, you know, Medicaid is a subset of all of our health and can be a good leader in how we deliver health care services. But this really is about all Missourians and the health of all Missourians, and how do we ensure that we have the health infrastructure, the financing infrastructure, everything that needs to be in existence for us to be the healthiest community as a state that we can be. And as you said, I do feel very blessed and fortunate that my background in everything from economic development, but mostly healthcare all my life, since being a teenager, working in nursing homes and hospitals and rehab facilities and with all kinds of clinical areas and community and public health and leadership at the state and coalition building in the Healthy Communities projects that I've been involved in. I think all of that comes together for a skill set that I definitely need as I build the Missouri project. So I think it's a good fit. I'm excited about it, and really invite everybody who's interested in being a part of it to please give me a call, send me an email, let me know that you're invited, that you're interested in being a part of the Missouri project, and we can be successful.
I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you last thing. Do you miss not being involved with the State Health Department as its director?
Sure, I do. It was a fantastic job with wonderful people in the department and throughout the state that I got to work with. And as I said, it was the most important department in state government because health impacts everything we do, impacts our economy, impacts our education system, impacts the success of our state. And so it was an honor to work for Governor Blunt, and a great, great experience. I learned a lot and feel just very, very proud of what I was able to accomplish in a fairly short time, which is pretty typical of health directors throughout the nation. You know, 18, 24 months is the average for anyone being in that position. So it was pretty typical, and don't have to be away from my family anymore to do the job. So it's a blessing.
Very good. Thank you.